Oh, that was really, really beautiful, Reverend Glenn. Thank you. I'm so touched. What did you call that? Primitive?
What was that again?
You called it primitive.
It's called primitive Baptist. There's a thing where they like the voice to worship God. And they think bringing an instrument in is kind of like a, you don't need it.
Oh, that was
so
beautiful.
Like they chant and they clap and they dance and they sing.
Awesome. We are going to have a primitive talk this morning. Though not very Baptist-y. Oh, good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to the West Valley Center for Spiritual Living. I'm Reverend Karen Rice, and I'm very happy that you are here today because I got something really fabulous to talk about. But before I dive into what I'm excited about, there is something else that I'm excited about that happened here. The consequence of yesterday is that we want to celebrate two brand new practitioners at the West Valley Center for Spiritual Living. So Sue Witter, if you would step forward, please, and assist me in this momentous occasion. Yeah.
So if the rest of the practitioners and ministers who are here today, we will be welcoming two new people into our fold. So if you will join us, and Fish and Kathy, if you will join us, so that the gang's all here and you can know that you are a part of us now at a new level. You've always been a part of us, but at a brand new level.
We'll put them down here.
Sure,
yes.
That'd be fabulous.
Yes.
Yeah. And so know that being a practitioner is something ooh, great skirt. I'm sorry.
Ooh,
distraction.
Yeah.
Just a little. I'm so easily distracted. I'm sorry. So squirrel, absolutely. Shiny object. So being a practitioner is something that is not just showing up here on Sunday mornings. It's not a teaching. It's not doing any one thing. It really is about having in your heart a level of consciousness that really understands the law. It understands love, and it understands this philosophy and how to incorporate it into our lives, and equally important, how to support you along your path. So you have before you not the full component, but most of our practitioners
That's
here. And these two ladies have gone to school for close to 5 years. And when I tell more than
eight?
Five,
eight.
Yeah, if you're like Fish and me, we tend to do more than five to get to where we're going. But know that this is something that is a very, very heartfelt, serious process for each of us mm-hmm. who are here today, that it wasn't a decision that was made lightly. It really is something that we're called to do, that we are absolutely engaged at a soul level, and this is simply one of the outcomes of that activity. So please know that this group welcomes you with open arms, and this community welcomes you with open yes. arms, and we have now expanded your base of people who will love and support you. I really believe that the thing that makes a practitioner core strong is its diversity. And we have such a great diversity of people, of styles, of way. And so we have someone at every level to support you in different ways. So I would like to, you want to put the stoles on?
Absolutely.
All right.
Thank you. So first, Kathy, You may not have studied the same 8 years that Fish studied, but how many times did you actually take the foundation class in the 4 years that you studied? The four
twice.
Years? Twice. Yep. You did three times.
I had you in class three times.
So.
I need some big foundation.
Congratulations! I'm so honored to be putting this stole on you to wear it in great reverence. Perpetual students, these beautiful ones. Congratulations. I'm so honored to be putting this on your shoulders this day. It's like me, wear it good health and great reverence.
So it is with great joy, great, great joy that I give to you the two new practitioners for the West Valley Center for Spiritual Living, Fish and Kathy. They are here to love and support you in brand new and unique ways.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Yay.
And I have a request. Will you please come up and pray with us today so we can get some practice serving
you? Thank you. Thank you. Oh, that's fabulous. Oh,
so,
one more thing.
So Clyde said on one of the times he did the service here on Sunday, a line that has stayed with me and probably stay with me forever when I think about being a practitioner, and that is, make our day, ask us to pray.
Yes, yes. Nice. Thank you. Thank you. All my beautiful family, love you. Great. What a great day. What a great gift to this community. Two more licensed practitioners. That's so beautiful. Great, great, great investment of your time. We will be starting the Advanced Science of Mind class in September. The dates are already out. We'll have the sign-up sheets out in the next couple of weeks. And we're doing something really different this year in that it's not going to be open just to people on the track to be a practitioner. There's something so incredible that happens in that education process that I'm opening up that first year of study to anybody that wants to be there this year. Maybe the only time I do it. It's a big experiment, but it's not for licensing. If you decide that you really are drawn to be a practitioner, you will have to repeat that year with having met all the requirements. So I'm so happy. And yes, they are so diverse. Our entire group is really diverse. I said to the panelists yesterday, ministers and practitioners from other churches have to come do the paneling process because it can't be people that know the candidates. And so they said, is there anything we need to know? And I said, well, they're really different. One's an artist and one's a retired RN, and that sort of says it all. They did life and studies completely different than each other, and it was a great, great joy to come together yesterday, sail through that, and to honor them this morning. So congratulations, both. So happy for you. Happy for me, too. So I'm going to preface my message by saying something important's going to happen today. If you miss it, you're bad, because I'm telling you right now, something important is about to happen. I realized when I started rehearsing the message this morning that I'd really done something, and I don't always know that, but I really felt things coming together while I was looking in the mirror, hoping I wouldn't waste the best performance in the mirror. You know, that's horrible when that happens. Has that ever happened to you, Glenn? Yes, it's terrible when you're standing there and you go, but I did it so much better an hour ago. but what I felt when I was getting ready this morning was that this is a message that hopefully if I do it well, or if you tune in well, that it's going to hit you later. You know, I have this vision that you're going to be driving home, or you're going to wake up tomorrow morning, or at some point it's going to hit you and you're going to go, what the hell just happened? Right? So it's a basic message. It's a good intro overall message. It's a perfect message to follow the congratulatory giving of the stoles for the new practitioners, because it's not only based on science of mind, but what I think I have done with this message is found a new way to for us to look as a group, for us to look at the way there is truth in all spiritual tradition, and that it doesn't matter what your background is. You don't have to give up the way you worship if you go to temple or church or sit under the tree and meditate. It doesn't matter what form of worship, but that there is a way, there is a logical process that each and every one of us is invited to learn about. Now, I think we do anyhow in life, just in living through our experiences, but what I know is when we are attentive, when we are intentional, our experiences become more relevant. And so I'm speaking today on a topic called resolving contradiction, because I think that is what takes us to the consciousness that heals. And that's what all the practitioner work is about. For all these years, that's what they have been learning, how to be that consciousness that heals so that they are a healing presence. And so it's bigger than the science of mind. This message is about how to use this stuff, but not just in a religious science sort of way, not just in a new thought sort of way, but in a universal way. And that is why I am so passionate about looking at the relevance of our teaching, because it is a universal teaching. It's not about converting people to our faith. It's about converting spreading this beautiful message to convert the harmony of the world. So the quote I want to start with, I know, right? How about a big amen for that? You don't have to wait for Reverend Cheryl, you know. So the quote I'm speaking from comes from that book, Creative Mind, that was published October 1st, 100 years ago this year. And these are the words of Ernest Holmes, the founder of this philosophy. To acquire the larger consciousness is no easy task. All that we have believed that contradicts the perfect whole must be dropped from our thought. Everything you believe, anything you have believed that contradicts perfection or the perfect whole, and we're talking about wholeness, we're talking about that consciousness that heals, any thoughts you have that contradict that can be resolved. And I'm going to give you the formula. You're going to leave here knowing exactly how to manage all of this today. Yes, that's right. That's right. So there is a process that we and others present. It's a process, a method of spiritual practice. It is, we call it a conscious mental practice, and I think that's why we like to talk about our faith as being a part of that practical spirituality. You can use it in your life. Every day you come here, you should find a gem to take home that will help you use it in your living. And this conscious mental practice resolves contradictions. And what if that was the whole point? What if any time there was a contradiction, something that came up and felt kind of conflicting in your mind, what if it was just an invitation to look for the wholeness that's already there? And so that's what we're going to talk about today. I think that when we find that place to stand in truth, it doesn't matter what your filters are or how you were raised or what your faith is, but there is a universal place that everybody can stand in that reveals that wholeness. And here's what I was thinking. Every time, anytime you get a tiny glimpse of truth, any little aha, those tiny little moments are the moments that build our conviction for a faith that has a method and a process that works. When we build conviction, we deepen faith. And that's, of course, what all spiritual paths appeal to. So that's why we always say, practice it. Prove it. I don't care. Try and disprove it. Whatever you do will be the way you are experimenting in your own life with the way that spiritual law works. And that's what we're looking at. Now, I think that idea of conviction, which I speak about a lot, because for me, it's like, ooh, when I can feel that enliven within me, I know I'm there. I know I'm somewhere. I know it's like the light. It is like that divine illumination is giving you more information in that moment. And I think that as we walk through the garden of our own experiences in life, you know, we're always harvesting weeds and planting new seeds, but as we walk through all of our experiences, no matter what they are or what color they are or how they smell or how we feel about it, I think that every experience is followed by, now this is Karenism, I'm just making this up. Which means if you like it, I get full credit for it. But I think that as we walk through this garden of experience, every experience is followed by a thought. I don't think it's possible to be otherwise, so maybe I'm not so wise, but it's followed by a thought. You know, so if something stuns you in a moment, it's like, wow, what was that? Why did that happen? Some religious scientists will say, why? What did I do to attract that? Right? And we stand in that place of trying to look for meaning for what the experience just, what just happened. We're trying to sort of file it away and make more sense of our life and our future decisions on life. And so as we have those thoughts, I just kind of wanted to say, you're going to have those thoughts anyhow. Why not be intentional about it? Why not plant some thoughts in there that we desire to be contemplating, stewing over, or otherwise? So sometimes things happen and people are looking for meaning in life. Sometimes we say something happens and we were looking for the lesson in that. And some people will even suggest that the great opposition to God, Satan himself, has come to test you and that God allowed that test. I don't care what you call it. It's an experience that will be followed by a thought, and you can direct the thought around the experience. So I think that we have contradictions so that we can have this opportunity to convert a contradiction into the possibility of the opposite of the contradiction. And that's why we talk about feelings in here so much. It's a way that we are invited to, make more a sense of order in our life. And I do think that some people find order easier than others. And some people really seem to learn best by the hard lessons, you know. And some people really are pay attention when they get the proverbial spiritual 2x4. You know, whack, you get whacked with something. But it doesn't have to be that way. You know, it's okay if you like high drama and you and it's fun for you. It's okay to do that. But as I was playing with this material, I had this memory. It's like, you're really throwing me off, honey, that you sat on that side this morning. It's like I kind of, so my anchor's skewed. I was thinking, you'll love this. I was thinking about a time when our children were little. We had four kids. And it was one of those Saturday mornings where I said, okay, you all need to clean your rooms before we do anything. We're not going out of the house till everybody gets their space cleaned up. And we had four kids, two in each room. So they did pretty good. We had three girls and a boy. And the girls, they needed a little coaxing, but they eventually got all their work done. My son, however, just couldn't do it. I kept going in there going, Bobby, you know, come on. None of us get to play till you're done. And finally, after a long, agonizing time, do you remember this, honey? Bobby came out of his bedroom. He was 5 years old, and he was so gorgeous. And he looked up at me with his big eyes, and he went, Mommy, I can't do it. Would you just spank me? So some of us would rather take the whooping than do the work of life. So there's this process of thinking, but the process of thinking is not the conviction itself. Let's be really clear here. The process of thinking is the road that can take us to the conviction, where we can find it and tap into it. And most people are, this is something Ernest Holmes said in that same book I quoted at the top. Most people are not born with an instinct to just be enlightened and understand how this thing called life works. Holmes said that if it were up to the few that come to the planet, he did believe there were a few that come to the planet fully, you know, enlightened, but if it would be hopeless if we needed those people to teach us, that what we want to remember is that each of us is created in the image and the likeness of the divine creator, and therefore there is that genetic code, that divine genetic code within us that that can be that light or that guiding force in our lives, and that the living of life is how we wake up to it. So we may not have it, and it may appear that some people have more of it than we do still, and maybe we feel like it's not fair because we've been working a lot longer than some other people seem to have been. But the truth is, we all have equal opportunity to tap into it. So Holmes said we can train ourselves to a clearer realization of truth. We can train our minds to a clearer realization of truth. Now, these are his words. This is not a process of adjusting the condition that needs to be changed. It is a, what? That's what I thought. It is a process of adjusting our minds, our mental thinking, to a reality that already exists. To wake up that genetic code in there. So this is the way I saw it. I was thinking about it, and I thought, you know, it's like a surgeon. A surgeon goes through tremendous training, almost as much as we ministers had to go through, right? we have to learn a lot. But we only metaphorically. I was thinking, I'm moving on. So the surgeon, you see a surgeon, and a surgeon can make a diagnosis, and very often they know exactly what they're doing, they're right on, they recommend a procedure, we agree or we don't agree. But if you have the procedure, the surgeon has made a diagnosis and has a method, a mechanical way of moving things around in your physical being that will help you be well, because the surgeon knows if things get realigned, that the body knows how to heal itself. The psychotherapist deals with people and mental and emotional conflicts. But the psychotherapist has a high confidence that the mind also knows how to heal itself. We just put things in a better order. And the spiritual practitioner, our licensed practitioners, or anyone who practices this philosophy, the whole point of what we do is that we learn to remove obstructions through logical reasoning so that the condition adjusts itself to a greater harmony. The condition changes. We don't change the condition, we change our mind about the condition. So we don't pray for the condition to change. I know it looks like that, and it's okay if you do. There's nothing wrong with that. But the real power of the prayer comes when we begin to realize and have conviction for this greater truth that genetic DNA code is already in us for healing. That we don't need the condition to change. We need to acknowledge the condition in order for us to be aware to call in something more than that. You know, when you're sick, sometimes all you can think about is how awful you feel. And that's in no way the place where we can call in the opposite of that. So let's say I don't feel happy. I do, but let's say I don't, and I become aware of it. See how you have to notice. I'm not happy, and maybe it's okay. Maybe you don't want to be happy. But what I can acknowledge is that I, in that moment, have some belief that there is something that could stand between me and my joy. And that doesn't have to be. That doesn't have to be. So as we learn to call forward the God quality, in this case we're talking about joy, we begin to learn to use the law in a productive and positive way. But this is where it gets interesting. In that same passage that I've been speaking from all morning, Ernest Holmes said, "We do not call peace just by saying peace." Yeah, this is really important. I want you to hear this. We do not call peace just by saying peace. We demonstrate peace when we convert confusion into peace. See, it's an action. It's not a conversation. We use the power of the word to get into that space where it is an action. We're not just blindly affirming things. We're using a definite mental technique. And that's, I want you to be driving down the street tomorrow and go, definite mental technique? And think how you can embody that in your own living. So think of it like this. I think this helps me when I say stuff like that. We can lift our mentality to a place where our vision adjusts to a new point of view. We are lifting our own mentality. We're changing our very vibration so that something else is possible. When we begin to be in that state of harmony and recognize it, call it forward, feel it, imagine what it feels like. Okay, it's missing, but what does it feel like? I've had it. What does it feel like when I have it? We then become more able to witness it happening around us, and that thereby can activate within us that same divine harmony. It's why I really am so fond of this scripture from Romans, that if you want to transform your life, you need to renew your mind. If I'm confused or I'm depressed, I need to renew my mind. I don't pretend I'm not confused or depressed. I can. A lot of people do. And a lot of people stop at that place of thinking, this is a lovely philosophy because it's positive thinking, and that on itself makes us happier. But it's so much more than that. So if I'm confused, I can acknowledge that I'm confused or I'm depressed or sad or feeling lonely or whatever it is, and then I can turn to truth. And when I turn to truth, here's what happens. I can remember that God is never confused or depressed. Amen. And right where I am, no matter when, right where I am, God is. And therefore, what that means is there is something in me, no matter what's going on in the world out here, there is something in me that cannot be depressed or confused. That I stand in that place of recognizing the presence of God. I recognize that there is an indwelling presence, and I tap into that potential simply by intending to recognize it, to restore the harmony that seems to be missing. There is no life. There is no life apart from God. You know, I mean, thank you, Dorothy. You know, in some way, no, I'm loud enough anyhow. That's nice. In some ways, it's so simple, isn't it? In some ways, it's so simple for us to just realize the simplicity of what we're teaching. We reverse our position in our mind. Feed your mind a new thought. Give your mind a new direction. And then you are no longer subjecting yourself to the condition. The new thought, if it should perchance mingle with that conviction I was talking about a little earlier, you get the tiniest glimpse of that conviction. You will convert the old condition into something new, and it happens, and at a quantum physics level that we can't see, but they are starting to define and explain to us, and I know most of you enjoy reading all of that. It's, yes, yes. So when we do those things, when we give that new thought to our mind, we are resolving the contradiction in our mind. We're restoring the truth. That's exactly right. Look, we said it together. So God is all there is. And that divine, that exquisite divine presence within us is never affected by anything external, never. There is always that pure place within us. I was reading, I think this is what got me so excited this week. I was reading Charles Fillmore. You know, Charles and Myrtle Fillmore are the founders of the Unity Movement. And it's amazing to me when I get out of my science of mind perspective and I just look for truth, that he was saying so much of the same exact stuff we were saying. He just wasn't as prolific a writer as Ernest Holmes was, and he didn't draw out a methodology like Holmes did. But he had all the facts in order. So I was studying out of the Metaphysical Bible Dictionary. It's kind of funny. I'm not even going to tell you what I was looking up. But Fillmore has this theory that the human body has all the same traits and characteristics as this planet Earth. And because that the Earth is mostly water, right? Two-thirds, three-fourths, it's more water than land. And because our bodies are mostly water as well, some people would say, you know, it's all the same stuff. It's that carbon stuff. It's that we're the stuff of stars, you know? And so because of that similarity, then we can take that the next step and look at this metaphorically. Just as the waters of the earth evaporate and surround the planet with clouds of mist, Fillmore says, so too the waters of life that surround us can create a mistiness. So when we look when we explore more deeply, he says that in the same way that a great storm can flood the land, this is where it gets tricky, our mind can be flooded with mental forces that we have allowed to be in our mind. But it is not an evil force that is opposed to God that is out to get you. It is the force of your own thought. So we go back to the beginning. You have an experience. The experience gets you thinking. Thinking creates what you think your reality is and your belief. And if you are conscious while that is unfolding, you don't have to go down that scary, dark alley. You don't have to have the whooping to get the room cleaned. There are other ways. So as the human mind tries to make sense of things, it begins to give it names and we start rationalizing and justifying, and very often we do not realize it's just the natural working of the law. It's just the way life works, and it works whether we get it or not. Holmes said, our ignorance to the way the law works does not spare us from the consequence of it. I really fully believe when we know better, we do better. And I don't know anybody that doesn't fall into that truth, which is not to say we don't make mistakes. But when we make the mistake and we learn the lesson, we know better, then we do better. Now, you can't violate the law without having a consequence. Fillmore says, I love this quote. This is a good one. When you transgress the law, we're talking spiritual law here, a great reaction sets in and forces a conjunction in your mind. I looked it up. It's not and or but. A conjunction in your mind. A conjunction comes from that word in Latin, conjoined or united forcibly. So it's like, let me give you an example and then I'll explain it a little more. If you violate the law of gravity, let's look at a natural law in the universe. If you violate the law of gravity, something's going to happen. And it might not be very pleasant. You know, have you broken something recently? You know, you knock something, a glass over near the sink, and those tile floors are really amazing how you can break things. But here's what I witnessed last night. My husband made himself a hot dog. I had lunch out, and I came home, and he was hungry. He had waited for me, and he was hungry, so he made this beautiful, delicious-looking hot dog, and he piled it full of all of his favorite things. It had all the gooey stuff in it, but it had jalapenos. I could smell it when he walked by me. And he walked over to his chair, and he accidentally hit the plate with his cane, and his hot dog went flying. And the law of gravity took over, and that doggone law of gravity sucked that hot dog right on that dirty floor, right? So we all know, we've all violated the law of gravity, and the same is true of these spiritual laws that we talk about every single week, every single class we have. We try and give you another element of how to look at these laws. Fillmore says, when you transgress the law, a great reaction sets in and forces a conjunction on our mind. Now, he explains that by saying that just the way a flood, a storm can flood the land. We know about that. Where's Reverend Clyde? Is your sister moved into her new house? Not even yet. And that was a long time ago, almost a year ago, I'm going to guess. So just as a great storm can flood the land, our minds are flooded by mental forces, and if we do not pay attention to what kind of thoughts we're flooding in our very own mind, there can be a force of a coming together that can make us feel overwhelmed or make us feel like we're moving through this massive contradiction that doesn't make any sense. But we are looking today at resolving contradiction. And, you know, I don't know if it's good news or bad news, but you are the keeper of your own gate. I am the keeper of my own gate. So we stand in this place as free moral agents, and eventually we can learn to use the law positively or not. Sometimes it seems easier to take the whooping. So, here's a really important thing I want to say. Resolving contradiction is not the same as resolving conflict. And I want you to hear that because I think that a lot of us do a really good job avoiding conflict and thereby aren't really looking at things that we could change by using the law, by being willing to resolve some contradiction in our lives. But if you think everything is wonderful all the time, if you go around saying God is good all the time and you don't think about how you can use this stuff to change your life, then you're missing out on something that's bigger. So contradiction is different than conflict, although one of the reasons we have conflict is because of contradiction or vice versa, I don't know. It's all the same, I think. It's a paradox. Things seem opposed to each other, but they are not. It's like the yin and the yang. They're all part of a whole. They're just different ends, different sides, dark and light, good and bad, happy or sad. So, what if we all just took a moment to ask ourselves, don't answer out loud, just think to yourself, what are those things going on in your life right now that seem oppositional? It's probably not hard to have one or two or three things or people pop up. When was the last time you felt like a person was opposing you? When was the last time you caught yourself thinking, wow, life is hard? What's going on in the world that you'd like to see different? Don't make me laugh. Don't make me laugh. Because that's the contradiction. And in order to resolve the contradiction, we have to get a glimpse of the wholeness. We have to be willing to look at what is trying to be healed here. And then we can begin to see methodically that there is a way through our own stuff. Unless you want to take the whooping, it's okay. This is what Ernest Holmes said. In the practice of the science of mind, we perform a dual duty. One part of us is listening to the divine presence, and the other part of us is speaking our conviction into action through the law. We must know with certainty that our word is the law of elimination to everything that contradicts the divine presence. I'm going to read it one more time, just that last part. We must know with certainty that our word is the law of elimination to everything that contradicts the divine presence. Let me hear a big amen. Amen. All right. This is a wonderful topic, and I have a beautiful quote I want to end with. And the quote is from someone I don't know, though I spent a good couple hours researching over the weekend, Charles Horton Cooley. And I want to tell you all about him, but it would take another 20 minutes. So I'm just going to read you the quote. You can Google him yourself later. Charles Cooley said this, "In a confused time, there is a possibility of seeing life more largely than any other time. because no one tradition dominates thought, and the need to choose opens our perspective. Do you hear these words? In a confused time, there is a possibility of us being able to see life more fully than any other time. Because no one tradition, no one political idea, no one dictator, no one anybody dominates thought. And it forces us, as we feel that contradiction, this need to choose, what do we believe? I am not aligned to that contradiction. What is the other perspective? What is the higher perspective? This is good news, my friend. We may be living in the best times ever because we have so much opportunity to examine new perspective. We're waking up some powerful genetic code, and it ain't just you and me. And it may not look like it's the whole world. It may look like there's a lot of humanity still doesn't get it, isn't awake yet, but it doesn't matter. As we wake up, as we choose the new thought, we transform our life, and that is how we transform the world. You already have it, and you can use it. Let me invite the practitioners and the ministers to surround this room so that we can anchor these strong ideas in the words of prayer. So just take a breath wherever you are. We just lay aside all the ideas that have created images before our eyes. And we return to that beautiful truth of knowing that right where we are, God is. Right here in this sacred room. Abiding deep at the center of every person in this room today. I feel the love of God within me, and I know it is that same activity of life that is stirring in each and every individual, in every blade of grass, in the flight of the bird, in the joyful movement of the lizard on the wall, the blossoms on the plants. I feel the love of God active and harmonizing with all of the good in the universe. It is everywhere present. It is an infinite intelligence. It is the wisdom that abides at the core of our being. We have awakened this day that genetic code. We have allowed ourselves to no longer sleep, but to be aware of this truth, of this greater harmony, of this greater good that is calling to be recognized, to be pulled forward, to allow us to know that there is this infinite, ever, forever, and ever giving of the grace of God that is just pouring into this room right now. Each of us a vessel to receive our good. We fill ourselves so that we resolve the contradictions and that we know thereby that there are rules just like gravity. There are laws and we cannot fight the law. The law always wins because it is the truth of the planet and the perfect motion of the universe. God, it's all active with divinity and aliveness and perfect order. This wholeness revealing itself yet again. And so as we consider these ideas, something quickens within us. We are for a moment restored to our sanity and we make the world glad and sane yet again. For we know we are renewing our minds, we are directing our thoughts, we are participating in our lives, we are not victims. It is not hopeless. There is beauty and joy and wonder everywhere around us. And this day, in this moment, we just open ourselves to receive it, to say, thank you, God. Thank you, God. So grateful for these gifts, for this renewed awareness, for this possibility of resolving contradiction in our own life and not being afraid of conflict, but seeing that these are the very things that call us to be more. And so we open ourselves right now. We open ourselves for God to shine new meaning and guidance and direction in our lives so that anything that happens this week that doesn't seem to make sense gets our attention and allows us to lift our vision and raise our point of view and to fill with the glory of God so that we can walk with our heads held high and see the beauty and the grace of life. And so I am grateful. I am so grateful. I just feel that movement, that energetic of gratitude, restoring us even now to our wholeness. It is in great joy. I say thank you, God. And I simply release the words of this prayer into the divine law, knowing it is already done. And together we say, and so it is. Amen.
What a wonderful message. I want to do a song from my CD. It is a song about contradictions and what we can do about it, called Peace Like a River.